Thank you for joining us for our broadcast today. My name is Ben Bailey.
If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all has become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Welcome to our study of great Bible chapters. As we think about great portions of Scripture, great chapters of the Bible, one of the most encouraging is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We might entitle this chapter, Great Motivations. As we think about things that motivate, that encourage us, that challenge us to live more faithfully to Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is full of these motivators, these encouragements to greater Christian living. Notice what the text of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says about encouragement. It's actually an unfortunate chapter break, for in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 is really where the thought begins. And the first motivator, the first encouragement, is the hope and the joy of that wonderful place we call heaven. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. We don't give up. Why? Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from above or from heaven. Here's the idea. We're not going to look at the temporary, the light affliction we face, the struggles we go through, the tribulation that we have in this life. That's not even a drop in the bucket compared to how beautiful heaven's going to be. Christians have to stop focusing. If we're going to make it, we've got to stop focusing on the trivial, the shallow, the mundane, the earthly, and the temporary, and we've got to keep our focus on what's really important, heaven itself. Paul says, if this tent, our earthly body, is destroyed, we've got a building from God, a home not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So what if it all comes down to it and I lose my life living faithful to Jesus? Or if I die through some trial or tribulation in this life? If I've really got my motivation where it needs to be on heaven, then all else pales in comparison. Paul said in Romans 8 verse 18, I consider that the sufferings of this present world, they're not even worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. Heaven truly will be worth it all. And so I must not lose focus of heaven, of what's really important, of the eternal. Don't let the temporary take over your mind. Don't let the earthly get in the way of you living with God for eternity. Then we find a second encouragement, a second motivation. And it is found in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. The Apostle Paul says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Another motivation that I have as a child of God is my faith. My faith in God ought to motivate me every day to be more faithful. Here's why. This is the victory we have, even our faith. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Faith in the Scripture is not a leap into the dark. It's not a belief in something you can't know or that you can't trust in. In Scripture, faith is based on substance and faith is based on evidence. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Well, you might ask, how do I get that faith, that substance, that evidence when I can't have faith by sight? I can't see it now. You may not see with your eye those things which you believe in, but you can know based on the evidence that they do exist. For example, Romans 10 verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If I know the Bible is the Word of God, 2 Timothy 3 verses 16 and 17, if I have examined the evidence and know that God does exist, Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2. I can be sure God exists. I can be sure the Bible is His Word. I can be just as sure of my faith, even though I may not see it with my physical eye. I can know there is a God, and thus we walk by faith and not by sight. And friend, that faith is a wonderful thing, for if I know who God is, if I know that God cannot lie, Hebrews 6, verse 18, that God does not change, Malachi 3, verse 6, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that God's Word will stand the test of time and will be our judge in the last day, John 12, 48, then a great motivating factor I have is my faith in God and my faith in His Word. Which leads us to a second motivating factor connected to the Word of God, and that is that it will be our judge on the last day. Listen to the words of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. The Bible says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences." What's a motivator, something that challenges and encourages me to live faithful? One day, every person who's ever lived is going to stand before the judgment seat of God and give an account for the things done in the body, whether good or evil. Now, to some, that's not an encouragement, that's a discouragement, because their life has not been lived like it ought to. But you know, for the child of God, it's not meant to be a discouragement. It ought to be a vindication. It ought to be something that motivates and challenges us. And ultimately, if we're living right, we can appear before the judgment throne of God with great boldness, John says in 1 John chapter 2 and chapter 3. And so I am motivated by the judgment. If I live my life by the Scripture, then I'm going to be judged in a way that I will receive that vindication, that glory. Jesus said in John 12, verse 48, "He who does not receive me has that which judges him. The word that I've spoken will judge him in the last day." If I know that God is a just judge, Genesis chapter 16 teaches that He is. If I know that God will be fair and right according to His word, and He will, and I live my life by that word, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, I continually try to walk in the light, 1 John 1, verse 7, then it is an encouragement. It is a motivating factor. The judgment is a motivating factor in me living faithful to God. And it's a motivating factor in me spreading the gospel. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, Paul says, we persuade men. I'm trying to live my life right. I understand it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10, verse 29, because our God is a consuming fire, thus we must make sure that we reach out to others with the saving gospel of Jesus Christ before it's everlastingly too late. But you know, one of the greatest motivating factors, one of the greatest challenges to Christianity, encouragements, is found in the love of God. Listen to the beautiful words of 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15. The Scripture says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." It is that love of God that motivates, that compels, that challenges us to live faithful to God each and every day. Friend, think about it for just a minute. Think about what Jesus did for me and for you. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. John 3:16. "For while we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. Jesus hung on Calvary's cross and was separated from the Father for the sins of the world. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. He Himself bore our sins in His own body upon the tree. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. "He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. By His stripes we are healed." Isaiah 53 verses 4 through 6. When Jesus cried out to the Father, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Do we realize that we're the answer to that question? Jesus took upon Himself the sins of the world so that we wouldn't have to bear the brunt and the consequences of sin. And friend, it's that ought to motivate God's children every day to live faithful to Jesus Christ. I promise you this, no one has ever loved you like Jesus loves you. No one has ever given more than God has given. No one has ever sacrificed greater than the Son of Man sacrificed so that we could have the hope and the joy of salvation. And thus, we can be motivated by the love of God, which gives us a second chance. I'm motivated by a second chance. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. The Scripture says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Listen, old things have been passed away. Behold, old things have passed away. Behold, all has become new. I get to wipe the slate clean. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 1, verses 4 and 5. My sins have been remitted. Acts 2, verse 38. I have arisen out of the waters of baptism as a clean child of God, and I get a second chance in this life. You know, sometimes we don't get second chances. Sometimes we mess up and that's it. God gives His children a second chance. Listen to the words of Hebrews 8, verses 12 and 13. God says, I'll be merciful to their sins, and their lawless deeds I'll remember no more. Psalm 103, verse 10, the Scripture says that God will remove all our sins as far as the east is from the west, so He'll remove our transgressions from us. God will cast all our sins, as it were, in the depths of the sea. Micah 7, verses 18 and 19. Picturesque image of how far our sins have been removed from us. If we're a child of God, the things we have done in the past can no longer haunt us. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press on toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Aren't you thankful today? Aren't you motivated today by the fact that God gave me and you a second chance? We can also be motivated by the fact that we are God's ambassadors today. Listen to the words of 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. Paul said, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We're God's ambassadors. We're representatives of God. And I'm motivated by the fact that I've been given the high and holy privilege to represent the Savior in this life. Imagine people you'd like to be ambassadors for. Maybe a president, maybe a dignitary, maybe a prince in some country. You are an ambassador of the Prince of Peace. You're an ambassador of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And friend, what a great privilege that is. Are you motivated today to serve the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a child of God? We are imploring you, just as Paul wrote, if you're not a child of God, become one today. Believe that Jesus is God's Son. John chapter 8, verse 24. Repent of those things in your life that are not right. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Make the good confession that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. We hope that you'll be motivated today to obey the gospel and to serve Him all the days of your life so that you can have that hope and joy of living with God in heaven.